flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Let me ask you both this question, because ultimately this is what we're getting down to. As Padres fans, if you had to trade one of the four players that are going to be free agents at the end of this year, Dylan Cease, Michael King, Luis Arraez, or Robert Suarez.
Is he going to be free?
Yeah.
Or does he have an they extended
him. They just signed him. Yeah.
I think they extended him. Take a look at his. Call it those three, though.
Suarez?
Yeah, I don't think he's free agent after this year.
He signed a...
Was it a four-year?
Yeah, a five-year deal. We still have him for like 3 more years.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
He still has trade value.
Then do those he has trade value.
But he's not a free agent.
All right, so let's do those three then. Trade one of those three now. Which one do you think gets you the best... Which one is the one that you feel like gets you the best return and you can... Most stomach losing at the same time. Like, the combination of the two. I think Arraez gets you the least return.
Yep.
I think King gets you the most return.
Okay.
But he's also, I think, the one that's the hardest to lose. I feel like the kind of the sweet spot guy to trade in the middle is Dylan Cease. He's got 1 year left. My guess is, based on his resume, he's going to get... a massive deal. We're certainly going to be looking for a massive deal in free agency, and one that, while he is great, you know, there's a bit, we saw the inconsistency occasionally of Dylan Cease.
He's 180 though, 180 innings. So pencil it in.
Yeah, that's a lot of innings that have been on his arm. Like Michael King doesn't have that many innings on his arm. You know, the question now, can he withstand that going forward? You don't know. You've seen Dylan Cease, you know, hold up, but. There's not a lot of pitchers who can just continue to put 200 innings on their arm every single year.
But I tend to agree with Paulie here in that it's such an awful feeling to be in as a fan of, like, 193 games, got that close. Yeah, you lost Profar. You can replace him, potentially, via trade. Free agency is pretty much out the window at this point, I think, as far as getting a left fielder to replace him, I think. But the bummer is I don't want to trade anyone. Now, if you get to the end of the year and you're going to lose Dylan Cease, you're going to get a comp pick for him, I can live with that. But it's hard for me to sit in here today, you know, 5 days before FanFest and be like, hell yeah, trade our horse to get some prospects or even maybe one guy, one mid-major league player that can catch or play left field or maybe DH every now and then. That's the part that you hate being in as a fan, having to go out and manipulate your own mind by saying, well, this could, bro, because, and I'm not, this isn't a shot at you or anybody else. I lay in bed at night and go, do we run it? Just go hardcore balls to the wall and try to win this thing this year? Or do we just unload all of these guys, revamp, retool, and hope we scratch and claw our way in the playoffs? But we've added, you know, 10 guys to the farm system. We've added two major leaguers that are going to help us next year. I could really be swayed. I mean, if I had the crystal ball where it was like, oh my God, how did AJ Preller turn these three guys into 20 guys that are, you know, whatever, fine. I can be swayed there. But
it feels like there's two paths. One path is we were so close.
Let's
go
for it.
We won 93 games. Let's keep at it. Let's keep going.
Keep plugging.
And let's try to win the whole effing thing next year. Or, well, that was our best effort. We gave it a shot. It didn't work out. Time to retool everything.
Yeah.
And there probably is a third path that's somewhere in the middle. I just have no idea what that looks like right now.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, somebody's bringing up the Juan Soto trade. Go ask the Nationals about what they got back. You know, they're pretty happy. Okay, yeah, Mackenzie Gore would look nice in this rotation. CJ Abrams, okay. James Wood, yeah, bright future. Didn't do a ton last year. So, again, you're talking about a starting pitcher that you would have in your rotation, probably be your four. Okay. I mean, it doesn't kill me. It doesn't gut me.
Yeah,
we didn't let
Juan Soto end up getting you Michael King.
Right, exactly.
And kind of Dylan Cease as well.
Correct.
So
and
you
so
got two starting pitchers.
You
in
got
rotation.
Two starting pitchers out of it. So I'm not super, I don't lament the Juan Soto deal really ever. We got to watch Juan Soto play, and I thought, hey man, he was going to help us win a World Series. You took a swing and you didn't, it didn't pan out, but I don't lament that trade, not even a little right now, years later. I don't. So I just wonder, what is the proper path? The other question is, do you think they know what the path is right now down at Petco Park? Do you think they have a clear vision of what the path is?
I bet that they at least have a thought as to the direction that they are heading. My preference would be, if you can find a taker for Dylan Cease. And I do feel like there would be a few teams out there who feel like they're really close and Dylan Cease could put them over the top, make them a playoff team when they weren't a playoff team before, or, you know, push them a little closer toward a World Series. If you could get a couple of players that address needs right now, an outfielder, a catcher, a midline starting pitcher, and a top prospect, for a one-year rental of Dylan Cease, I think that's the kind of trade you absolutely have to consider and pull the trigger on. I'm assuming AJ hasn't gotten an offer like that, which is why he's continued to say no and hold on to Dylan Cease. He's not giving away Dylan Cease for nothing, but I think there is a deal potentially to be had out there. Maybe it requires a starting pitcher in spring training that goes down for another team. Like, oh, we thought we were all set, and now we've lost our starter. We need to do something. All right, give AJ another call. What was he asking for before? I guess we have to pay it now. I mean, we could be looking at a scenario like that where they're waiting on a team to get a little more desperate and meet their asking price for a player like Dylan Cease.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, and they're going to need to figure out a way out from under. It's a, hey, look, you want to talk about threading a needle. You have to appease a fan base that is, they're livid. I mean, they're livid right now. I've seen maybe, no kidding, this is not hyperbole. And I realize, I told my wife and I talked about this. There's real life, and then there's life on the internet. And they're not the same, okay? But just telling you, you have a restaurant, these are the customers that are currently sitting in your restaurant. They're not happy. The service is slow. The food's not good right now. The roof is caving in. That's how people feel right now, okay? I've seen maybe one or two people go, you know what? I'm tired of all this BS. Let's just ride. Can't wait to watch my Padres. Literally, like when, again, we mentioned it yesterday, Ryan Cohen, the happiest, most positive guy of all is like, this sucks.
It's funny because the restaurant analogy, though, is not really that apt. The last time you went to a meal, which is last season, mm-hmm. was a great meal. It was one of the best meals we've ever had.
Yeah,
and we haven't sat down at the table yet for the next meal.
We're in line. We're in line to eat, and the roof is falling in. We are in line. By the way, reservations, we're
you
full.
Don't like the smell coming out of the kitchen.
Ben, the reservations are full, buddy.
You don't like the smell coming out of the kitchen. But you haven't actually sat down at the table
yet
since last season.
The reservations are full. I can't get a table right now. It's sold out. It's sold out. But the roof's caving in, and you don't like the smell coming out of the kitchen, and they're understaffed. There's holes in the staff. And so, you know, the fan base is insane right now. And I think for good reason, you know, because we are actually sitting here going, which one of our guys that can help us win a World Series are we going to trade? Or maybe which two of our guys that can help us win a World Series are we going to trade to make this team more fiscally responsible and stable, and also maybe build up our farm system a little bit? It's a tough pill.
I don't care about the fiscal responsibility. I care.
Since when?
I care about, well, I mean, you know, in the long term, do you want your team to be bankrupt and having to, you know, sell off assets? No. You have to have some fiscal responsibility. I care more about the team that they're putting on the field this year and whether they can make it a better overall group by making a trade, clearing some money, maybe signing someone to, you know, getting a couple of trade pieces. Is it possible that a 3-for-1 deal actually helps you more than holding on to Dylan Cease?
Is there potential? Yes.
That's the potential I'm looking for. We have no idea if Dylan Cease is actually going to have a good season, stay healthy this year. You can't read the future, and there are many different outcomes, and one of the potentially good outcomes for the Padres would be trading Dylan Cease, maybe avoiding a down season for Dylan Cease after he's put so many innings on his arm, and getting pieces that actually do help you this year. I mean, the worst-case scenario is holding on to Dylan Cease. He has a mediocre year. You don't make the playoffs. You got nothing for him.
Yeah.
So you have to think about the possibility of what you can get. You're not giving him away. If they were giving him away, they would have done it already.
Yeah.
There's plenty of teams that would love to have Dylan Cease, you know, and say, all I have to do is give up a couple of low save the money.
Right.
There's a dozen teams that would have done that already.
And that happens.
So they're not doing that.
They're not doing that clearly.
So they're waiting. They're looking for a really good deal. And if they find one, then they'll pull the trigger on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough, like I said yesterday, my hottest take is that Dylan Cease will be at Petco Park on opening day, but he will be starting for the Hotlanta Braves. And, I mean, it makes too much sense. Georgia native, right? Yeah. But I think the Michael King thing yesterday came out, and I went, in my mind, and I know I'm right, actually. Like, one is a Boris client, one isn't. One has many more years of a resume than the other. The other one just is coming into his own as a starting pitcher. For me, Michael King was the centerpiece of the Juan Soto deal. You cannot let him go. And you shouldn't have let him get to arbitration, your first arbitration hearing in a decade, but that's, you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. You have to now massage it and make sure that he wants to be here for the long term and find a way to keep him long term. And I think, again, Padres fans would be fairly happy with that move.
I would prefer that as well.
I really would.
I would prefer, you know, knowing there's no chance they're keeping both of those guys. I think there maybe is a chance they can keep Michael King. He's the one that I'd want to keep long term. Less innings on his arm. I just feel like he's got that electric potential, and I feel like Dylan Cease is going to be somewhat overpriced considering how much he's accomplished already. You know, that's a premium resume that he's put together, and someone's going to pay a lot. Someone like the Yankees, they're going to pay a lot for Dylan Cease this offseason.
Yeah, Boston, you know, somebody, Atlanta, whatever. But yeah, I mean, look, we're now kind of back to the point of where we started on this show 7 years ago of, well, Salas will be here soon and DeVries may be here soon and blah, blah, blah. Now, admittedly, there's a hell of a lot more interesting players on this year's team than there were on those teams. And I couldn't agree more. And again, said it yesterday, I can't wait to watch Merrill and Tatis and Manny. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I love those guys. Those are my guys. But I do wonder what they're feeling right now, too, of like, man, kind of busted our tail last year. I know it didn't end the way everybody wanted it to, but now we're talking about moving pieces again, and there's this ownership drama and who's calling the shots, and it's as dire as it's been, man, in the 7 years that we've done this show together. It really is. I feel that way. Now, we went through a work stoppage. The other thing is, we're probably going to go through another one at some point. So I think that needs to be taken into account as well. It's very murky. It's very muddy. I don't begrudge anybody, you know, the way they're feeling about it right now.
Quickly, back to how this whole thing started. We talked about Robert Suarez. He does have the opt-out.
Yeah, Craig texted me and said he can opt out. If he has another All-Star season,
he will opt out.
He's opting out. He's going to go for an even bigger
contract. The opt-out is 2 years, $16 million. I don't know that he opts in for that.
Right. If he has another good season, he's gone after this year,
But I do think he's the guy that's most easily replaceable.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fair enough to consider him a likely free agent at the end of the year. You're operating as though he's going to be
have
a
good
agent.
Good season,
an opt-out. Ultimately, Woods, I know what you're saying, and I'm concerned, too. As a Padres fan, I'm concerned, but I'm also willing to at least give them a chance on the field this year.
What choice do
until
we have,
they lose,
right?
Until they're, you know, 15 games under 500, I'm not going to get overly upset. I'm going to give those players a chance to go out and still have a good season and maybe surprise some people.
Will we? Okay, here's what I hate about sports media. And mark it down if you want to. What we can't do is if they go into spring training here in a few weeks and they keep Cease and they keep King and they keep Arise and they go out and they're 15 games under 500, we can't be like, see? Told you, they should have traded those guys. We can't do it. We have to pick a side in a lane and stay in it. And I don't know which lane I'm picking. That's my problem, is I'm very unsure what the right lane is to go.
I think they should probably trade Cease, keep Arise, and King, and see if you can put the best team possible on the field with that combination, with what you can get.
Trade Cease.
That's my lane for now. All right, we will come back. We haven't really talked about the craziness in Dallas. The fact that Jerry Jones hired Brian Schottenheimer as his head coach, and Jerry is really showing his senility, I think, at this point. So we'll get to that
Are we in a position to criticize anybody's ownership at this point? Or
yeah, I think that the Dallas Cowboys
are always
fair
an
game.
Easy target.
They really are. First, though, I'll tell you about Prize Picks. The big game pick. It's a free pick. It's already live. You can start putting together your daily fantasy sports lineups for the big game. Week from Sunday, Patrick Mahomes, one half of one passing yard. That is one entry you can put into a lineup between two and six players for the big game. For any sports, on daily fantasy sports at Prize Picks, there are millions of users who are having fun every day. Here are some of the other big game options. Saquon Barkley, more or less than 112.5 rushing yards. Jalen Hurts, more or less than 215.5 passing yards. Travis Kelce, more or less than 62.5 receiving yards. Those are some big game options for you when you're doing Prize Picks. The more you put together, the more you can win. Or keep it small. Keep it a two-person lineup with a free square. You can win money like that as well. There's so many different ways to play with Prize Picks. The one thing you definitely should do when you download the app and sign up, use the code KWFN. You'll get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So all that free play at the beginning when you use code KWFN and put together your first $5 lineup. Easy to play. It's quick. It only takes about seconds to download and set your lineups. It just adds to the enjoyment and fun playing, you know, watching and playing while you're watching your sports. And you can win up to 1,000 times your money now on Prize Picks. So again, check out the special squares for the big game coming up and run your game on Prize Picks. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
We haven't really talked a ton about the NFL coaching changes, so Don't Do This is going to be filled with some of the news from the NFL. Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Now, I know you can't judge a book by its cover.
I was just saying before you got here this morning to Paulie, when we talked about this guy, I said, we're going to have to judge a book by its cover. That's
we laughed at Dan Campbell when
he
was first introduced.
Because it was funny. It was funny.
Coach of the Lions. And people are kind of laughing today at new Jacksonville Jaguars coach Liam Cohen. Couple of reasons about this as well. First of all, he talked in his opening introductory news conference that one of his big things is like honesty. He wants honest critiques. He wants people to, you know, give him the unvarnished truth. This is a guy, though, who like lied to the Tampa Bay Bucks after he had accepted a big promotion or a raise to be their offensive coordinator. And they said, but go interview with Jacksonville just for the good experience of it. And then all of a sudden, he didn't return any phone calls from Tampa. He go, wait, I'm getting the job at Jacksonville. I'm just going to take it. But what everyone was kind of laughing about was just his somewhat odd behavior at the news conference. I guess Jacksonville's in Duval County, so he was trying to ingratiate himself to his new community.
Duval.
Oh.
It just doesn't seem...
Duval.
It's very unsettling. It's so unsettling that I watched it 150 times.
I don't know what
times.
It is about...
What is it? Is it the head movement?
Duval.
Yeah, he kind of, the eyebrow raise.
Kind of like a, hey, what's up?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Duval. Play it again.
Duval.
Kez says, is that AI? Yeah,
I thought it was one of those like apps, like a deep fake. Because I also didn't know
it's the sway.
I didn't know that Liam Cohen existed. Before yesterday, I didn't know that the Jaguars made a new head coaching hire. Very forgettable hire, right?
Yeah.
And I literally thought this was like a deep fake.
He looks more like a character in The
Duval.
Office.
Duval.
He does.
Than a head coach. But, Mike McDaniel's kind of, he looked a little weird,
Duval.
Too.
Duval.
All right. So, this isn't a huge jump for me to say, I don't think this guy's going to work out for the Jags. It's the Jags. But I look at him. Because Dan Campbell was up there like acting like a lunatic, but I went, I would run through a wall for that
guy. He looked the part.
This guy, he doesn't...
Who was the other...
He doesn't look like a leader of men, per se.
Didn't the Jaguars also have a coaching hire, his first press conference? Or was it the Jets?
The Jets, Adam Gase.
Adam Gase, And then who's the other one that was like doing the fingers like... Remember that guy?
I don't remember that.
He was like meeting a player for the first time. He's like, he was like talking like Matthew McConaughey.
Hey, you gonna get in there and you'll kick some ass, man. It's
so weird.
It's very odd. It's just odd.
I mean, Pete Carroll is a little odd. He's great, had his, but we kind of like his brand of oddness. And he had his introductory news conference with the Raiders yesterday.
Drew said Yosemite Sam. He does. He's got I don't know. This guy. He weirds me out. I'll just say it. It weirded me out when I saw this yesterday.
What was the name of the actor in The Godfather? Godfather Part 2.
That's Robert. It's your cue, Paul.
That was your cue. That's all right.
I was trying to figure out something else here. I'm getting ready for our next story.
This is an actress. She died last year.
There it is.
Shelley.
Duval.
He's a golfer. Remember Tiger Woods? He had the sunglasses. He was
David,
number one in the word.
David.
Duval.
It creeped me out, man. It really, really did.
I'm still not convinced that it's not AI.
It's not. I saw another thing that he talked about. They had him like on the mic, and he's got he's just wide-eyed, you know, and he's very excited. So, listen, I think, we'll see what happens. I mean, 8-9's a pretty good year for the Jags if they can get there. If they can get them to a little bit worse than 500. But I don't know, man. He just doesn't look the part.
Doesn't.
Gannon, that was the name. Look him up.
Jonathan Gannon, Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, he was the one that like had the weirdest introductory, like he was meeting guys for the first time. He's like, you're going to be off into the solar system. It was so bizarre.
You got to, when you're at your press, like your introduction, you have to do less. You have to do less. You can't be the main character. Dude, and I know you're the head coach, but you just can't be the guy that they're talking about.
Yeah, it's really a fine line. You can't be too boring, but you also can't be too interesting.
It's very, very interesting, man. Very, very interesting stuff. Now, listen, as an owner, Jerry Jones looks the part, right? Like, you think owner, you think Jerry Jones.
Like, if you're casting TV
owner.
Football team owner,
that's it.
Jerry Jones is your prototype.
That's your guy. But he had a little... Well, they did their press conference with Brian Schottenheimer yesterday. Brian Schottenheimer actually came off pretty well in his opening presser with the Dallas Cowboys. Stephen Jones did not, and Jerry Jones did not. But they grabbed Jerry after, and they wanted to talk to him. And he invoked his favorite phrase, and I'll never, ever get tired of him saying it.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holds.
Oh.
Very low percentage.
There's a very low percentage of this, meaning the game of football and the hiring process, that is smiles and glory holds.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holds.
No.
Very low percentage.
Someone has told him, hey, bud, dad, or grandpa, you know the other meaning for that word, right? Like, you know, do you know what you're doing?
I don't know. Can anyone
there
actually?
Was. Glory hole.
Can anyone talk to Jerry? He just seems so out of touch now.
I would think that his son would go, Dad, you can't keep talking about glory holes. Yeah, he's an oil man. I get it. I know exactly where it comes from. But based on the fact that there's another definition that is much more widely known, for those of us that aren't in the oil and gas business, as Jerry Jones was, you need to find a new phrase. Honey hole is better. Are you asleep?
No, I'm just
trying. What are you doing?
I'm looking up the quote, because when Jerry announced Brian Schottenheimer as his new coach, it was weird.
It was weird.
You know, Brian Schottenheimer's always been known as a career assistant, but now he's not anymore. He's now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
And then he goes into a big diatribe about himself.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I mean, you probably want to downplay the fact that you just hired someone with no experience whatsoever.
He's like, y'all telling me I don't take risks. I just hired a guy with zero head coaching experience. Zero. And I mean zero.
None.
A glory hole full. The glory hole's empty. Of coaching experience. And it's like, all right. I mean, look, they're never boring. They're like the Padres.
He learned at the knee of his dad, the worst playoff coach in the history of the National Football League. Sorry, Marty Schottenheimer, but
he's taking shrapnel. Oh. Shout out to his family, but
shout out to his family.
He kills me, man. Jerry just kills me.
Finally, a little doo-doo this.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Talked last week about how the Bills Mafia responded on the Mark Andrews drop by raising money for his favorite charity, the T1D Foundation. Well, now the Ravens fans are doing suit. Ravens Flock, as they're called, has started a GoFundMe to raise money for Dalton Kincaid's charities after his drop, or, you know, non-catch at least, in the AFC Championship game on the fourth down heave by Josh Allen. Fans, trying to do good by other fans is definitely something that you like to see at the very much. And the Summit Center for Autism is a charity that Dalton Kincaid has worked closely in the past. So Ravens fans are going to return the favor and try to raise money to help kids with autism.
If Mookie Betts drops a ball in the playoffs and the Padres win, I'm not donating to his charity, by the way. I'm not. So you know.
Should Dodgers fans have donated to Aaron Judge's favorite charity?
They may have, actually.
Yeah, maybe, actually.
If Dodger fans are listening, could you donate to the San Diego Padres? Because we are desperately in need of some money. ASAP.
By the way, that...
the Michael King Fund, as it were.
Bills Mafia, over $140,000 raised now.
It's insane.
Which is pretty cool.
That's great. Good
for
them.
We talked about that catch a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
I've changed my tune. I saw another angle on Instagram. Somebody from the... like
the top.
Upper level posted a video. Bro, there wasn't a defender within 20 yards of Kincaid.
Really?
He had nothing but space. He made no adjustment. That ball should have been caught.
Wonder if he didn't. Did he not realize it was coming to him till the last second?
By the time any of the defenders realized what was going on, he had 15 to 20 yards around him. Like just a radius. There was
but
nothing.
It wasn't like it was on, you know, yeah, it was time or anything.
He left his feet, yeah. You know, he had to leave his feet. But again, Paulie says he didn't make the adjustment to get to the ball quicker. But hey, man, listen. Bunch of fat guys sitting on their couch watching, right. Criticizing Dalton Kincaid in freezing cold temperatures, the biggest play of his life.
That's Don't and Do Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It's the off season, but there was some electric baseball last night.
100%.
And I caught the last couple of innings. A lot of people were watching, actually, the Dominican Winter League Game 7 Championship. And we're going to talk about it when we come back with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, listen up, guys. If you have joint pain, I get it because I was there too. It starts as a nuisance. You just kind of wear it. You put up with it. Then it starts to impact everything in your life, walking, climbing stairs. For me, the defining moment is when I went to pick up my, at the time, I think he was 2 years old at the time, my son Taylor. And I could not lift that kid up to my waist. And I went, all right, I got to do something now. These carpal tunnel braces that I'm wearing, the tape that I'm using on my wrist, they're not getting the job done. So I went into QC Kinetics and made the call. And it's been a life changer for me. I'm back to doing all the things I love to do. Playing baseball, playing guitar, picking up my kids, all the things I love to do. And that's 100% thank you to QC Kinetics. So their regenerative treatments sweeping the nation. Tens of thousands of QC Kinetics patients would tell you, don't wait. Make the call today. Talk to the local medical professionals. If you've got pain in your knees, hips, shoulder, back, your hands as well, they're incredible at what they do. Their new orthobiologic cellular therapies, including PRP treatments, can revitalize your joints without going under the knife. They're not giving you a bunch of pills and stuff like that either. It's really a simple, simple process. So all you have to do is call them today. They got two locations, one in Torrey Hills, one in Hillcrest. Get a free consultation, 619-614-PAIN, 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics, 619-614-PAIN. Let them know. Woodsy from 97.3 The Fan sent you, please.
The beginning of the show, Woods mentioned that he didn't do much sports watching last night. It was light Monday.
We had creative night.
You had creative night, which is good.
Yeah.
It's good, especially when you have smaller children.
Yeah.
But I did happen to notice, and thank you to Sam Levitt, tweeted out the link. And I had heard, you know, I'd seen some highlights from the previous games. But the Dominican Winter League was down to the last game, Game 7 of their championship series in Santo Domingo. It was Albert Pujols' team, the one he's managing, Leones de Escogido, taking on the two-time defending champions Tigres Licey in the final game. And I picked it up. It was 5-5 in the eighth inning on YouTube. And, you know, the broadcast is in Spanish. But, all right, I'm involved. I'm sitting at my desk. I've got it streaming. I'm looking. They have like 750,000 people watching on YouTube, and the stadium looks electric there in the Dominican Republic. The YouTube stream, like our chat, you know, we get a couple of comments every minute or so. The comments on YouTube, probably two dozen every second.
It's crazy.
It was just
bam,
it was
bam,
like
bam.
Just tickering. You would never be able to keep up, but it was pretty electric. And it comes down to the top of the ninth inning, when Junior Caminero, infielder for the Tampa Bay Rays, is batting for Leones, and he absolutely clobbers one to center field. And this stadium in Santo Domingo, it's like the spring training, some of the stadiums, with the big tall wall that's the batter's eye in center field, 411 feet away.
Yes.
Clears that off the scoreboard.
They said 454.
It was absolutely demolished to give his team a 6-5 lead. This is the top of the ninth inning. But as he's rounding the bases, it's like a walk-off home run. I mean, he stops at first base. There's
it's like 20 seconds just to get to first.
Just to first. He's
hugging.
Getting all into it. Hugs, high fives. The stadium's going crazy. The fans in red, at least, are going absolutely nuts. Still at first base. Finally starts, and he's jumping up and down between first and second. Over the top, the wildest home run trot I think I've ever seen in my life. Still have to get through the bottom of the ninth. Lise puts on two runners.
Yeah, second and
one
third.
Out, and then second and third with two outs. And former Padre Francisco Mejia is the final batter. Hits a looping liner to right, diving catch out in right field to end the game as Leonis de Escogido wins it 6-5. So they advance now to the Caribbean World Series, which is, as Raul in our chat pointed out, very cool. The winners from Venezuela and Mexico and the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico are all going to be playing in just a couple of days in Mexicali, just down the road, like an hour and a half away across the border. And the entire Caribbean World Series is going to be played kind of in our backyard here coming up to crown a champion. About as an electric moment as you're going to see. Remember Fernando Tatis Jr. when he was young, hit that walk-off, was a grand slam to win the championship as well for his dad's team, Estrellas Orientales. But this was something that I'm definitely glad I saw live and will remember for a long time.
Yeah, it's a different game there. It's a religious experience for these players and for these families and for these fans. And man, I saw a great tweet last night.
55 seconds it took him to get on the bases. I just counted from bat to ball to crossing home plate, 55 seconds.
Yeah, this is a great tweet last night from Deacon. And it said, America, there are different cultures in baseball. Just a reminder, when you continue to judge players and call them peacocks and classless. Remember Ken Rosenthal called Fernando Tatis Jr. the dancing peacock last year in the playoffs. And where is Fernando Tatis Jr. from? He's not from Iowa. He's from the Dominican Republic. And that's how he grew up playing the game. It's pure joy is what it is. It's pure unadulterated joy. And that home run that he hit was massive. Massive for his team, for himself, for his family, for his friends. It was incredible. And I love it. I thought it was great. Now, I think like everything, there's time and place for celebration. That's a good time and place for a celebration like that. If it's the third inning and you take 55 seconds to get around the bases, all right, man, you may slow the game down a little bit. But I have never really had a problem with anybody pimping home runs. I think it's awesome. If I ever was lucky enough to hit another one and knew that I hit one, I would definitely pimp it. It's so cool to me. And again, you're talking about a different culture. And when they come to America, you know, people want them to, no, you keep your head down and you run around the bases like Adam Rosales. Not to give shrapnel to Adam Rosales. He played the game the way that he was taught to play it. And that's okay, too. But you can't call these guys names and say that they're classless. I didn't see any disrespecting of the game. I just saw pure joy. That was just a pure joy moment.
But had that occurred in a Major League Baseball
game. Next guy's wearing one. Yeah.
You feel like there's going to be a retaliation. Either right away or the next time Junior Caminero's at the plate.
Oh, by the way, they like throw at guys in this league as well. It's not like, hey, do whatever you want. Take your pants off if you hit a home run. They will throw at Junior Caminero at some point. It's just the talking head. Like, imagine, we all remember the Bob Brenly scenario with Fernando Tatis Jr. and the bike chains and all that. Like, the Manny Machado stuff. Like, you remember that stuff. And those are the guys that are supposed to be kind of shepherding the game and moving the game along and taking care of the game. And when guys are calling baseball games that don't like modern baseball, it's always a tough look. So I thought it was awesome, man. I really did. And I think in moments like that, celebrate your ass off because it's huge.
Well, I've got a soft spot for Junior Caminero.
Yeah,
me
too.
If you remember, he wears number 13 because Manny Machado is his idol.
Yep.
Got to exchange jerseys with Manny last season when they were playing the Rays, which was a really cool moment. And, I was really excited and happy to see it. I want to ask, though, I feel like the Padres are the team that probably is the most celebratory in baseball.
Not anymore. They were at one point.
At one point.
Well, I think everybody's kind of caught up now.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own
fair,
dugout bits.
They were kind of the trendsetters for it. And I think baseball is the better for it as well. And we'll talk about it after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. What was the, was it the swag chain? Was that kind of the first of the dugout home run celebrations that have now really pretty much filtered down to every team in Major League Baseball. I mean, you see, you know.
It was met with a lot of resistance as well, if you remember.
It was, and now it's been almost universally
they
adopted.
They put costumes on guys now. They simulate things that can't be repeated.
Interesting use of water bottles.
And, listen. Baseball's fun. I always have fun playing baseball.
Somebody does, like, don't they have a... The Braves have the hat, the big straw hat.
Yeah, they have wrestling,
like a shopping cart.
There's a shopping cart. They have wrestling bat, a wrestling belt.
Mariners have like a big trident.
Yeah, the trident is amazing. I love the trident.
What do the Nationals do? They have got they've got a whole getup. I think if I remember correctly,
somebody has like a judge or something. They've got like a wig on. I mean, it's really cool.
Remember when the baseball lost its mind when Fernando Tatis Jr. stutter stepped?
Oh, it was the end of the world. literally the end of the world. I mean,
third base on a home run trot.
People were red-faced and livid about that. And look, I think, you know, these guys play, the guys in the Dominican League, certainly, God, they play hard. I mean, they play hard. They give everything. That means so much to them. Winning that championship for them is, I think, the equivalent to winning a World Series. I mean, it just means so much to them and their country. And you see it in Japan. Now, they play a different brand of baseball in Japan, but it means as much to them, if not more, than what they do in the big leagues. And I think that's hard for some Americans to grasp, but I really believe that that's the case. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's one of my favorite things about baseball, is the 25 different cultures that are making an appearance on a nightly basis. The fact that you can get all those guys to come together to play the same game, albeit some of them play it differently than the other. I do respect the Adam Rosaleses of the world. I do. But I also respect the Junior Caminero's of the world. I think they're both badass. I mean, there's something badass about both of them.
Yeah, I agree with you. Don't force a guy into... Kyle Higashioka was never going
No.
He was never going to dance his way around the bases.
No, absolutely not.
But at the same time, don't...
Be yourself.
Don't lionize him and say, oh, he's doing... See this? This guy's doing it the right way. Right. Appreciate him for who he is.
Oh, man. You hear... That is the biggest catchphrase in baseball, is he's doing it the right way. You should see the way he goes about his business, and he does it the right way. And look, there really is no right way. I mean, if you are filled with joy and excitement, I tell my 7-year-olds the same thing. You know, let it flow, man. You made a great play. Beat your chest a little bit, man. Have fun with it. It's a fun game. It should be. It's supposed to be. We have taken a lot of the fun out of it, but it was electric, man. His bat went about 100 feet in the air, by the way. There's a pick
four
a
and a half
shot.
Seconds hang time of the bat toss. You didn't see it on the original home run because they were showing the ball actually traveling, but there was a replay where they stuck with him with the bat toss. I was actually worried for the safety of everybody on the field, because wherever that bat was going to come down, it was going to hurt a lot.
Yeah, I tell my kids, if you're going to flip it lightly. Don't sling it at the guy on deck. Don't throw it in the dugout. But look, I think all this is good for baseball. I do. And Junior Caminero is a stud, man. It was so, so cool to see. I'm not for the WWE. You don't have to WWE baseball, but you also shouldn't flip out if a guy hits a massive home run like that off of you. What does Mad Bum do if that happens to him in that game? He explodes. He explodes like the drummer of Spinal Tap. He just spontaneously combusts. It's over for him. But I also respect the way he played the game as well. I do. I can respect a lot of the different ways that this game's played. I loved it, though.
I think in many ways, though, Fernando Tatis Jr. is the embodiment of a new culture in baseball, one that at least has the potential to be embraced by a younger fan base and demographic, something that baseball has craved for decades and struggled to find, like something that appeals to the younger generation. And Tatis is just, his swagger, his fun, has the opportunity at least to do that. And that's why I think the Padres... we're in such a good place. I think it's why, you know, you in particular want to see them continue to push forward. Because the Padres were on the cusp, at least they were, of maybe breaking through to a new level. Like the way the Golden State Warriors did.
Yeah.
Remember the Warriors?
When we were kids.
In the 90s? They're terrible. It's like terrible. They were a joke. And they have turned themselves into a premier basketball franchise based on the Splash Brothers and changing basketball
and
with Steph Curry and
winning
championships.
Yeah.
And the Padres were actually
on the cusp
of making that giant leap. They made a leap, but they were on the cusp of making a giant leap. Not only, you know, capturing attention, but perhaps changing the game and becoming one of the premier franchises in all of baseball. But they need a championship to do it. They need maybe a couple of them to really do it like the Golden State Warriors did. And that's the one thing that's eluded them. And you just feel like you don't want them to recede back.
The backslide is impossible.
The backslide is what you don't want. You know, keep up the momentum like the Golden State Warriors did, but it would be so much easier had they won a championship or two.
Sean and Jets at 7-year-olds shouldn't be bat flipping. Teach their own. They don't hit a lot of bombs, but they hit it, and then they like throw their bat, and they usually sling it towards the guy on deck. What I'm telling them is hit it, and you can flip it to the side. You don't have to flip it and pimp it and, you know, do Junior Caminero, but it is...
You don't want anything dangerous.
No, you don't want the bat. Bat'll hurt you.
Yeah.
That'll hurt you.
Especially the aluminum ones.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
wooden ones aren't that much better, actually, but...
Yeah. So, sorry, Sean, I'm not teaching bat flipping, all right? I'm not teaching them to do it. I'm just saying when you throw the bat...
Just a little like a wrist
just
flip.
A little wrist flip.
Bo's
pretty good at it. He's got a little bing.
I mean, Caminero did a two-handed...
Oh, straight up in the air.
You know, absolute heave as high as he could toss the bat in the air. It went up to like the second deck.
It was huge.
At least height-wise. It came back down pretty much where he was standing, so he did a good job in not endangering the general public in Santo Domingo, but it was the highest bat flip I have ever seen.
Yeah, it was a pretty special moment for him last night. And then again, the play to end the game was just staggering. I mean, it was a staggering play. The second baseman ran out, took his hat off, and threw it at the right fielder, and they just started celebrating. It was really cool.
So, yeah, the Caribbean World Series starting January 31st down in Mexicali, Mexico, runs for about a week. They do a round robin and then a semifinals and final round. And I believe it'll be streaming just like the...
I think it's on MLB Network, actually.
Oh, they actually have it on TV, too? Oh, that's very cool. So, yeah, and it's, you know, for people who are a star for baseball in the offseason, it's a nice little option. All right, we'll come back. We've got half of the show still remaining, including Take on Woods in our 8 o'clock hour and a little Padres prospect talk.
Whoa.
A little tongue twister for me there.
Almost.
All coming up with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.